We'd like to welcome each and every individual to the Vision Project. Hi, my name is Mark Borsma, President of Synergy Solutions. I'll be your executive coach for today's group coaching session. And if you do have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. Or if you're calling outside the U.S., you can call the U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. Teresa, what would you like to accomplish today?
Well, Mark, I was wondering how one can best navigate through the ideas of truth out there in the world, and how do you know what is truth and what isn't?
All right, so that was that's a very interesting question. What drove that question?
More, I think, with conversations with people that I know recently, and as they are seeking truth and trying to figure out really what is truth, I don't know, in their lives and in those around them.
So that's a little unusual question. A great question. So what would I go ahead and say on that one?
I know that's kind of a big one.
It is a big one. That is a big one, without question. A really good one. I would say that just asking the question is really powerful. And so getting people to ask that question, that's awesome. I mean, that's absolutely awesome. I think that... let's go ahead and go through a process here. Let's say we did answer that question. Okay?
Okay.
So we answer that question. Ideally, how would our lives be changed as a result of the answer to that question?
Well, if we were living in ways or believing things that were not true, hopefully those people or whoever it is would adjust their lives to seek the truth and to live by the truth.
See, it talks about, in the Bible, talks about, and the truth will set you free. So what that means is that if we don't know the truth, we're enslaved. Now, if you were to ask 7 billion people, how many of you want to be enslaved? Probably none of them would raise their hand. But in doing executive coaching for over 20 years, Teresa, I have come to the realization that people actually do want to be enslaved often. Any idea as to why?
Because they don't see it as that.
What would be a good example of a whole bunch of people that are enslaved, know they're enslaved, and continue to be enslaved?
Well, I know due to your previous examples, maybe people who are employees.
Okay. If an employee hates their job, I mean, if they love their job, they love what they're doing, okay, you know. Cool. But if they hate their job, would love to give their job up, and they just can't because they have to have the money, they're enslaved. Okay? But there's even a better, stronger example of a whole bunch of people that are enslaved, know that they're enslaved, know what it will do to them, and they still do it.
Those that they know are enslaved?
Yeah, they know. These people know they're enslaved. They know they're enslaved. Many of them hate being enslaved, but they will not go ahead and change. They will continue to be enslaved.
I don't know at the moment those that would be aware of it.
It would be people who smoke.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know that there's probably a person, at least in the United States, that smoking that doesn't know that is bad for your health. It can kill you. You know, it's bad for everything. And yet they continue to do it.
Okay, I see that.
So they know they're enslaved. They know it's bad for them. Many of them hate it, if not most of them hate being enslaved, but they continue to do it.
Because they're addicted.
They're addicted. And I think, you know, any addiction that's out there, any addiction that's out there is based on entitlement perspective, that I'm entitled to feel good. And so therefore, whether it's eating, smoking, drugs, alcohol, pornography, shopping, I mean anything, there's an entitlement attitude. I'm entitled to feel this way.
Okay.
And so the truth, you know, people, you know, there's a saying that, you know, if the truth hurts, it was probably meant to. And so I am of a belief, becoming more and more of a belief, that people are enslaved and they want to be. Now, why would somebody want to be enslaved? Because the short-term feeling it gives them, they can go ahead and they don't have to take ownership for it. It's not my fault. It's somebody else's. They don't have to take ownership. They don't have to take responsibility for it. It's easier in the short term. You tend to find people who tend to be focused short term in the moment, living in the moment, which a lot of the popular media, you know, TV, radio, all advertising, everything's living in the moment. So there's the entertainment industry, everything's about living in the moment. I mean, it's like live in the moment, live in the moment. And so the more that people tend to live in the moment, I think the more people resist truth. And so, Stephen Covey says, start with the end in mind. So it's like if we knew the truth, you know, what would our lives be like? You know, what would be the goal of doing that? So I think a lot of times we try to convince people to know the truth, see the truth, when in reality, they actually do, but it still does not change their behavior. And so getting down to the heart and the core of all of that, you know, and so the thing that people don't recognize is that the slavery leads to death, you know, physically, mentally, spiritually, morally, emotionally, financially. I mean, so it's in being enslaved leads to death and destruction. Knowing the truth and then following that truth. So if somebody doesn't know the truth, okay, if somebody doesn't know the truth, that's one thing. That's one strategy. But if somebody knows the truth and then still does not, you know, follow that truth, that's a whole different situation. And so
yeah.
What we need to do is we need to find out, do we want to know that, do we, you know, so it's easy. I'm not a smoker, so it's easy for me to say, oh, look at that. They're killing themselves. You know? But I can only see that because I'm doing that same thing in my own life too, probably, just in a different way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so internalizing it to say, okay, I'm seeing somebody else destroying their life. How am I destroying mine? How am I making poor choices? How am I ignoring things that I think it's progressional, time, talents, treasure, trust, and truth. And so I think that when we when we go ahead and see the truth and then follow the truth, where more truth is revealed to us. So, you know, a heads up if you're listening to the rebroadcast of this, you know, it's about ready to go into the spiritual dimension. So if you don't like that, you might want to pause it for a couple minutes. Just heads up. So what, like if you could say all truth, everything, you know, everything, all truth of the universe, what do you think the most important? This is a Black Hawk helicopter, you know, principle. We're running into that a lot lately. And so what's the most important truth above all other truths?
That there is a God.
Okay. And then after that.
And that we are called to be disciples in this world.
Okay. So what I would say is I would say the most important truth of all truth is that for God so loved the world, so he loved you and me, that he sent his only begotten Son for us. And so God loves us and God sent his Son to die on the cross and pay the penalty for our sin. I would say that, in my opinion, is the number one truth of all truths of all ages. Now, that truth compels us to a decision, and that is we are either going to accept that or we're going to reject that truth. I mean, I've heard a number of times, I don't know if this is true, but I've heard a number of times from people in the military where they say, there's no atheist in a foxhole.
know, right.
And I don't know if that's true or not. But when you get really close to death, you know, I don't know, you know.
It's pretty dismal if there's no God.
It would seem like that to me. And again, if you're listening, I gave you heads up. I'm not judging you if you don't. I'm just saying, for me, I find it, I love talking to people who have different faiths than I do or no faith at all. I love talking to agnostics, atheists, Buddhists. You know, I love talking just about all of that kind of stuff and where people came to that conclusion, because I believe that my belief system is that if we're all created in God's image, all of us, every human being, then I believe I can learn something if I'm open from anybody on the planet. In the circles I was raised in, that's almost, you know, heresy. I mean, that's like, you can't, you know, it's like, well, no. I mean, and I have. I mean, I think that but that foundational truth, if somebody doesn't know that, I believe that, you know, and accept that, you know, I believe that there are significant eternal consequences to that. And so for me, you know, that's the most important truth of all truths. Now, you get out beyond that, and I've done a lot of studying of the Bible and other things and other works and people. You get outside of that, and all of a sudden it goes down. It degenerates very, very, very quickly. You know? And so it's like, well, like gravity, you know, that's a truth. Well, it's not as prevalent, you know, outside the Earth's atmosphere as it is in. It's still there, but not as much. And then there's, you know, it gets into some really, you know, murky stuff. I mean, some, you know, we're to be honest, okay? That's truth, okay? We should be honest. But we should be honest in love. Okay, how am I supposed to balance those two things out? And so, I mean, I think that conversation, you know, I think that conversation is a very worthwhile conversation. I think it's for a group of people that care for one another. I think it's saying, what truth might you be missing? You know, you, me, what truth might you and I be missing? And then opening it up for other people. Because I thought of this a while back. Who's most likely to tell you the truth? A friend, a total stranger, or somebody that doesn't like you?
Probably one of the latter two.
Right, probably somebody who doesn't like you. That's the weakness, the blind spot in, you know, speak the truth in love. Okay, I believe we should do that, but if it's not in love, well, truth is still truth. Well, they had a bad motive. It doesn't matter what their motive was. You know, it doesn't matter what their motive was. Not to me, it doesn't. I mean, if I'm a jerk, if I'm selfish, if I'm a liar, if I'm a cheat, if I'm deceptive, if I'm manipulative, if I'm whatever I am, you know, their motive is irrelevant. They can have the worst motive and be the most helpful to me because nobody else will tell me. And there's a guy in a small group, he's in his late 20s, and he came up to me and he said, you know, Mark, you just bug me like crazy. Sorry. He's like, you know, there's some things that you've told me that nobody else in my life has ever told me. Sorry. He's like, and it really made me mad. But then I got to thinking about it, and I'm like, you know what? Mark's right. Now, that's a sad situation that somebody can be in their late 20s and never have anybody tell them that. Is it that nobody else saw them like that? I don't think so. Maybe, but I don't think so.
Right. So, yeah, I guess like seeking the truth from people that don't like us.
Right.
Although sometimes a stranger could do it too because then they have nothing to lose if, I mean, they don't know you.
Correct. Right. But they won't have as much energy as somebody who doesn't like you and wants to harm you. Like, strangers are conditioned. We're conditioned not to say negative things to people. And when I say negative, things that people get upset about, we're trained at a very young age. You know? So we're trained. I mean, kids will be very honest. Why is that person fat? You know? Oh, don't say that. You know, why does that person have an ugly dress on? Oh, you can't say that. You know what? And so we train the truth right out of our kids. Kids are naturally honest, and we train it out of them. Then we wonder when they lie, it's like, why do you lie? It's like, well, we've been training them not to be honest. And, you know, one of the worst things to do is, you know, is I think is to go ahead and, you know, we train them not to say things that make people upset. And so, did you steal something, Johnny? No. And then you find out they lied. Well, Mommy, you would be upset. You told me not to say things that made people upset. Well, no, Johnny, that you have to tell me. So a four-year-old is supposed to somehow discern when to be honest and when not to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
See, this would be just a great white paper, just a spectacular white paper to write on. And then have points of conversation. Like, I've wanted to do this for a long time. I mean, I am, I have never been diagnosed with autism. But many would say I'm socially impaired, socially handicapped. Like, I like when people are direct with me, you know. I mean, Peter at the last event, he goes ahead and says, Mark, you have 40% body weight. You're obese. You're fat. Now, there's a part of me that, you know, it's like, Peter, could you keep that down a little bit? I mean, there's a part of me. And there's a part of me, but Mark, is it true? If it's true, then say it. Say it for crying out loud. One of the greatest, kindest things somebody could do is say that. And so I think, when I was teaching adult Sunday school class and, you know, I became convicted, I never prayed with my wife. And so I told the whole adult Sunday school class and I said, I'm not praying. And so you guys can hold me accountable. A couple of people asked me a couple of days, but nothing significant. And then this young boy, he's like, I don't know, 7 years old. He heard about it. He comes up. He says, Mr. Boersma, I hear you want accountability on praying with your wife. I'm like, yep. He's like, are you praying with your wife? Nope. It was cute for the first 5 or 10 times. Then it got to be irritating. Sunday night, Wednesday evening. It's like this kid was relentless. I loved it. And the pastor of the church came up to me and said, hey, Mark, I hear there's rumor that you're not praying with your wife. It's like, yep, that's true, Pastor. He says, I know how to fix it. I said, excellent, go for it, do it. He's like, don't you want to know what it is? I'm like, no, just do it. He's like, well, I was going to call you out in front of the whole congregation. I'm like, cool, yeah, go ahead. And he didn't do it. So why is it that I would be willing for him to get up in front of the whole congregation, friends, family, my kids, everybody, and say, you know, Mark has given me permission to go ahead and call him out on this thing, and he doesn't pray with his wife, and so I just want to call him out and put him in front of the whole congregation. I mean, why would that be like, thanks for caring for me, I appreciate that.
Because it might help you fix it.
Right. I mean, do I have a stronger fear of people or a stronger fear of God? I mean, if Peter put that on, Peter put that about obese, and here's Mark's body fat, and he's like a 90-year-old guy, and this and this. If he put that out on YouTube, I mean, that could be the most loving thing he could ever do. I mean, if my very life is in danger, which in theory it is, why would we not want, how does one's brain, like, is there some type of a defect? I mean,
you might be the only one who thinks that putting that on YouTube would be a loving thing.
But that's the truth.
I know, and I think it's one thing to say that he would tell you directly in person.
But if that doesn't work and he really loves me...
So should I tell him to do that?
I don't care. Yeah, sure. Absolutely. See, but there's this unwritten rule. There's this unwritten rule that people have, and that is, I won't tell you the truth if you won't tell me. I won't, you know.
Yeah, so, I see that too.
You know, and so it's like, you know.
Recently I feel like I've been hanging around you too much. I told one of my friends a little more directly what I thought about her situation. And then, like, I tried to backtrack a little and be nice about it, but saying, you know, I think I have a good point and you should think about that. And then I went home and I felt like maybe I ruined something. But, I mean, to get it out there and to help people be aware of it so they don't fall into these bad habits, you know.
Right. This is what I find to be the most intriguing thing is when I'm quote-unquote nice to people, I'm a jerk and I don't care. But they're okay with me being a jerk and not caring because they can feel good because I'm not saying anything that hurts them emotionally. And so when I don't care about somebody, they think I do. And when I do care about them, they think I don't. It's like all backwards. And so Dwight, when he comes on, if you could stay on just a moment just to ask the question, we'll ask him from China. We'll ask him to go ahead and share his thoughts because I would be very intrigued by his thoughts. He comes at, you know, at things from a very different worldview. But there are some crossover things. I mean, there are some deep things that he and I, you know, believe very strongly. So it just, I don't know, intriguing. Does that help?
I mean, I don't really know how else you could answer. I don't know how to answer that question. I think it helps when you know what the truth is. But I think there's also a process of trying to figure out what's true and what's not.
See, and I don't think that we're going to be revealed deeper truth, the five T's, time, talents, treasure, trust, and truth. I do not believe we're going to be revealed the deeper truths until we embrace the truths that we have. Well, I think Dwight might, I think he's gone this week, now that I think of it. I think he's on vacation. So, like this here, no, he's, I think he might be here. We'll see. Good. So, anyways, this is a good start for a white paper. I'm going to ask Dwight this. I'm going to have Teresa ask Dwight this question in just a moment here. And so, Teresa, are you able to stay on for another 3 minutes at least?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, if you are listening to the rebroadcast of this, you have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. Or if you're calling outside the U.S., you can call the U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. God bless and have a great day. Bye-bye.